This will get us up to speed just a little bit where we are.
Okay, this is Genesis 13:17. And this is God talking. Arise and walk through the land, the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt among the oaks or tenebriths of Mamre, which are at Hebron, and built there an altar to the Lord. And in the days of the kings, Amraphel of Shinar, Arioch of Elasar, Chedor Laomer of Elam, and Tidal of Goim. And they made war on the kings Bera of Sodom, and Bersha of Gomorrah, and Shinab of Admah, and Shemember of Zeboim, and the kings of Bela and Thedes and Zor.
All right. So what we've got here is we've got war now. We have Abraham going to near Hebron and Mamre, which is near Hebron. And what's so important about Hebron?
That's where the grave was.
That's where Machpelah is. That's where the grave, Sarah's grave is. Okay. Now he's going to go back there and he's going to have, that's the oldest documented real estate that I think we have in the Bible of somebody buying something. And in the history, I think that's one of the oldest things that we have in the Bible. Well, 14:3, call Eleh Havaru El Emek Hasadim Hu Yam Hamilah. And that Hamilah is only in there, has a ch sound on it. All right? All these, call is all, and these, Eleh, call Eleh, Havaru. They grouped and united. They had grouped and united together. That's third person construct plural, cal perfect. They had grouped and united together unto a valley, Emek. Look at that valley, Emek, Hasadim. What does Sedam mean? You remember what Sedam means? That means extension. Okay, extension, extended out. It was a long valley. Okay, a long valley. Hugh and this, actually this, and interpret as this being sea salt. This is a salt sea. Now, how did this salt sea become the salt sea? Do you remember? How, Sharon?
Jordan River coming down from Dan. There's three tributaries, and then it goes into the Sea of Galilee, and that's all freshwater. But at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee, there are some salt springs coming from the Mediterranean Sea that pump into there. And so the water leaving the Sea of Galilee going down to the Dead Sea, it has a much higher salt content. And when it gets to the Dead Sea, there's no outlet, so it just evaporates, and it just builds and builds and builds and builds this really high salt content.
Yes, and that's what Mono Lake is up there. Mono Lake is like that. Mono Lake. What, Marilyn? And the Salton Sea is like that also.
Salt Lake City.
Yeah, Salt Lake City was like that also. Okay, 14:4. Shatim Esrei Shanal. Avidu et Kedara lo Omer Yulisholoshu Esare Shana Meradu. Look at that Meradu on the end there. What do you see on the end of that, Brother Roger?
So it's personalized in ownership?
Yes.
Yeah. And made plural?
And made plural. It is in what case? In what case? The ownership case is what? Belonging to what?
Genitive.
Genitive case. No, not. Yeah, it's genitive case. The case of possession. Genitive. All right? And it's genitive plural, isn't it? Let's go on there. Shatim. What does Shatim mean? Ahad Shatim. What does Shatim mean?
So it stands for two.
It stands for two, but what does it literally mean?
Division.
Division. All right? It's division. Two means division. We have one, which is unity. Two is division. And then we have ten. Two, ten. Ten, esthere, ten. Now, two means division, one means unity. What does ten mean? Remember that one, Sharon? Divine order. Very, very good. Divine order. You get an A+. Divine order. See, you've been taking the tabernacle classes. Remember all these. Don't let me forget to take my tabernacle chart with me tonight. I'm going to take that home because I'm teaching on some very in-depth things there. Shana. Shana. What does Shana mean, Brother Roger?
Completion of the cycle.
A complete cycle. A complete cycle. Many of the people, of the rabbis in the Mishnah and the Talmud believe that the plagues of Egypt cover a whole year, one whole complete cycle, one whole year, through all the seasons. And God was doing some great things in the plagues, wasn't he? He took something natural, which was, there was red tide, so to speak, in the Nile River. We know that. It killed things. There was frogs that come out. There was flies down there that you know about. And there's these little biting insects. This is all part of that. And they're locust. But what God do? He multiplied it a thousands, ten thousands, a million times. God does that. He uses something natural many times to bring about. How about manna? Manna, manna. What about manna, Marilyn?
Well, that is the bread.
Okay, what does it mean?
Manna,
manna.
What is it?
What is? Thank you very much. You get an A+. Manna, what is it? Okay, now was there natural manna in the desert, in the wilderness? Marilyn?
No, God provided it.
All right, Roger.
There was, but the miracle was that this continued beyond the season.
There was manna. Remember when we watched those movies, Marilyn, where the guy said, this is manna, and it tastes like pancakes with honey on them.
Yeah.
Remember that? It was a natural phenomena. But what God did is he absolutely multiplied that phenomena tremendously and fed those people absolutely for 40 years. It was naturally there, but God multiplied it greatly.
Okay.
Now, we got off on that when we said Shittim Esrei, 2 and 10 years. And now, let's look at this. And here, the word Avad is there. What is the word Avad, Sharon, the root of it? You remember what that word Avad means? It's doulos in Greek.
Yeah,
servant. Slave. Doulos in Greek. Okay, if you want the Greek equivalent. And now we have third person construct plural, cal perfect. How should we translate this, Brother Roger?
They had served and kept on serving?
They had served. Yeah, they had served. For 12 years, they had served.
Oh, okay.
It's a completed action. The 12 years is completed in it. And then, et, the sign of the direct object, which is not translated. See that, Marilyn? Et. What would be the Greek equivalent of this, Sharon? Of an et. Okay, Roger.
Ace
is a Greek sign of the direct object. And then we have Kedar La Omer. Kedar O Omer. And you can look his name up on page 462 in Brown, Briver, and Briggs. And what does it mean? A sheaf or a band. A sheaf or a band. That's what his name means. And it says, Yushiloshu. And 3 and 10 years. What is 3 and 10? That's 13 years. And now we have Maradu. Maybe we get the word marauder from this. Marauder. 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 What does a marauder do? Marauder.
They rebel.
They rebel. Okay. Do you know that the Lincoln Mercury Company, one time, they built an engine called a 430 Lincoln Marauder or Mercury Marauder. I had one of those. It turned out about 1965 or 66. It was a world's championship out at Formosa for the quarter of a mile. That big block 430 Lincoln Marauder engine. Marauder. Boy, it was something. I had it. I went out there to the Formosa drag strip and I took off in second gear. It was built by Ed Bookout for his son, and it was so fast, it was unbelievable. It built, Lord's Automotive built that engine, that Mercury Marauder engine, and it would twist 8,000 RPMs, and that is unbelievable for a big, long throw engine like that. But it'd go woof. And I'd go out there and I'd tut it in second gear just like a dragster. A long time ago, this is ancient of days. This is history now. Darn Garlitz and all of these, I can't think of his last name, Ernie Hashem, all these guys would go out there and they'd have these dragsters. And back then, the engines were in front. And the transmissions that they used was a Cadillac LaSalle transmission. It was a standard transmission, a 3-speed. And they usually take them and either lock them in second or third gear. And this 55 Ford Victoria hardtop that I had, I took it out there, and I took off in second gear in that quarter of a mile, and I just let the clutch out, and then I'd stomp it down, and the wheels would just smoke. It had 10-inch slicks on it. Now, 10 inches is nothing today, but that was wide slicks back then. And they'd look like knife blades. They'd just slender up like that. And it'd go whoop, 120 miles an hour in a quarter in one gear. In one gear. When they put a good transmission in, it did 138 in a quarter. Got a whole lot more. And it won the Winter Nationals with that thing. The Mercury Marauder engine, that Mercury Marauder. I had another 47 Ford pickup with a Mercury Marauder engine in it, and it was just a slow poke. It just poked along real good. It was real smooth and everything else, but it wasn't anything like that engine. Marauder. They rebelled. Now let's look at this. First person construct tool, Cal Perfect. So what is this, Brother Roger? They had rebelled. They had rebelled. All right. They had rebelled for themselves. 14 and verse 5. Now, 14 and verse 5. Yubi Arba. Esre. Shana. Ba. Kedari. Lomer. Weha me la. Kanim. Asher, Eto, Wayaku, Et, Rephaim, Beasteroth. And that last T there is actually a TH sound. So give it that little th on the end of it. Like you're lisping just a little bit. Beasteroth. Then Gar Nagim, Weet, and that's a TH on the end of that, we et. And that Hazu Zim. Biham. We et. Ha'imim. I did? What did I miss? Oh, I missed one down at the bottom, didn't I? Or did I?
Yeah.
Okay. Karneyim. We et. Hazu Zim. Biham. And Weet, Ha'imim, Bisawe, Gir Yatayim. That's a very famous city there, Gir Yatayim. That's Kerioth. Judas Issacharioth. Judas Issacharioth. What does Judas Issacharioth mean? Pamela? Issacharioth. It's a Kerioth. The man from Kerioth. All right, here's the Kerioth right here. This is it. All right. And in fourth, Yube Arabe. Okay, look at that. U on the front of that is the conjunction, that's and. And Beth is the preposition. And in fourth, ten. All right, and what is it? The 14th year, Shana. Ba, that's third person masculine singular, cow, perfect. Third person masculine singular, cow, perfect. How should that be translated, Sharon?
He.
He had come because it's perfect tense, isn't it? Perfect tense. He had come. And then we have this guy here. Chedor La Omer. Chedor La Omer. This guy means sheaf or band. And then it says, Yuha Melekim. And you there, or we there. We is and, ha is the. And then we have a double M, don't we? Because we have a dogish in the middle of that. Ma'am there. Yuham Melekim. And the kings, which with him. Wayaku. Look at the dogish in the middle of that cough there. See that, Brother Roger?
Mm-hmm.
That doubles it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wayaku. And in the yod, there is a dogish also. See the dogish in the yod? So what do we have there? We have two yods. We have two yods and two kaws. Way yah. See that way and then yah again. Way yah kaku. And now we have what? How would you conjugate that, Pamela? What's the conjugation of that? Wayakaku.
Third person masculine plural.
All right. Wow, consecutive and perfect. All right. And they struck and kept on striking. They struck and kept on striking. Then we have the sign of direct object again. And Raphim. You remember what Raphim means, Sharon? Raphim. Strong. Powerful. Sturdy. Robust. In Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth. What about that, Brother Roger? Ashtaroth. What does Ashtaroth mean?
Isn't that a place up where they build like a little place for the gods or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it means a wife, literally. A wife. A lover. A wife. A lover. In Karnaim. And Suzim. Suzim means prominent and strong and giant. In Ham. Ham means what? Sharon, remember what Ham means?
Secretive.
Yeah. Okay. In Ham. All right. Suzim and Ham. And what about, what are some of the descendants of Ham, Marilyn? What about an Egyptos? Mitzrayim. All right, what were they called?
Hmm?
What were they called? The what?
The
Cushites. Okay, the Cushites, and what did the Cushites do? They were good with bows and arrows, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, all right, they were really good with bows and arrows. Kind of like Indians over here on this continent. And then we have Ha-Imim and the Imim. What about these Imims here, Sharon, what about those?
Well, here's the giants.
Oh, it's a race of giants. These are a race of giants. And so what are they? The Anakim. These are Anakim and the Emim are the same bunch, and these are giants. They are Nephilim. in the plain, a kiriathaim. The plain, in plain. By the way, in plain there, what case would that be in? In the plain. Lockety. Boy, you girls and boys are getting really good here. Grammarians. All right, in plain. And then how about kirioth? Kirioth. How about that one, Roger? Kiriathaim.
What do you want?
In the plain, in the plain of Kirioth.
Okay.
That's genitive.
Okay.
Genitive, the plain of Kirioth. Now down here it says the Emims is a race of gigantic stature near the Salt Sea. Anciently the whole country was held by a race of giants, the Rushaim, Suzim, Emin, and Harim. Emim were related to the Anakim and generally called by the same name. The Moabites and their conquerors called them the Terrible, the Emim. The Emim means the terrible ones. Kind of like there was a terrible race of those people in Star Wars. My sons used to talk about, what were those, the gargoyles or something. I can't, this is make-believe stuff, but they were just bad guys. You know, they were always wanting to kill people. Whatever they were. See, I don't know anything about that stuff. But yeah. Yeah. And then we have here 14 and verse 16. We have Hahori. Biharam. Seir. Od. El. Paran. Asher. Al Ham Midbar. And it says, and the Harites, the Hahori, the Harites, in their mountain, look at that, in the mountain of them, that preposition on the front of it, and then we have the mountain of them, in the mountain, or in their mountain, and that's genitive plural, isn't it?
That's kind of interesting. You got a conjunction, then the mountain,
and then
the identification of who belongs to
it. Yep. That's in the genitive.
Complex word.
Complex word. This is a compound complex word. And that's Seir. Mount Seir. Where is that? Where is this Mount Seir? You remember, Marilyn? Where's Mount Seir? Remember, we have a whole movie about Mount Seir. Petra. Petra. It's Mount Seir is where who lived? Who was a red-headed guy that lived there?
Esau.
Huh? Esau. All right. Old Red. Esau. As far as odd is a like a preposition or adverb. As far as, it's a preposition or adverb of what? Place. L. All right, A-L here, A-L, A-L. It's kind of like A-L, E-L. L means oak. There, E-L means oak. And then Paran, El Paran. Which, against, up against, look at that, El, up against, or by, Ha-Midbar. Midbar. The wilderness, against the wilderness. What was the terrible beast of the wilderness? Do you remember? Behemoth. All right, there was a terrible supernatural beast of the waters, which was Leviathan. Okay, and then we have a terrible supernatural beast of the desert, which was a behemoth. Wayashvu, Wayavu, El Ein, Mispah, He, Kadesh, Wayaku, Et, Kol, Sida, Ha-a-milki. Wigam. Et ha-imori, ha-yashev, bi-chason, tamar. Now, I want you to understand something. The Quran has some places in there that are not identifiable. They're mythology. They're mythological places. The Book of Mormon is all mythology. You can't find a place there and say on the planet Earth where it was, hardly. But the Bible, do you know that scientists and archaeologists take the Bible and they read the Bible to find out where something is? What does that tell you? It's scientific facts. This is facts. Don't ever worry about the Bible. Don't ever worry about studying the Bible and running into blank walls. When I run into what is called textual criticism, I explain it. The other evening, I think it was, I don't know whether you were there or not, Sharon, the night that I was talking about the book of Hebrews, and I went in there, and where they put the altar of incense in the wrong place in the book of Hebrews. Where did the Hellenists put the Ark of the Incense, the altar of incense? Where did they put it? Where did the Hellenistic Jews put the Ark of the incense?
Out in the courtyard?
No. In the Holy of Holies. They consider it in the Holy of Holies because that was the last thing you did before you went into the Holy of Holies. So they consider that part of the Holy of Holies. Even though it's not part of the Holy Holies, but the book of Hebrews is written by a Hellenistic Jew. So where does he put the Ark of the Incense, the Table of Incense, or whatever you want to call it, in there? And I said, now, don't let this bother your theology. But this was their opinions of that time, and God let that writer put it in that book of Hebrews through his own eyes. Even though the altar of incense is right here, in front of the tabernacle veil. Vayishavu. Now let's look at this. Conjugate that one for me, Sharon.
Third person masculine, plural, cow, well, consecutive, and perfect. They turned and kept on turning.
All right, they turned and they kept on turning. And what would you call this in military term here, Brother Roger?
Executing an about face.
Executing an about face. All right, that's what they did. All right, and now let's look at the Vayavu. Vayavu. All right. Now, Sharon, conjugate that one for me.
Third person, masculine, plural, cow, well, consecutive, and perfect.
All right. So how did what happened here? That's right. They kept on coming. All right. El is a preposition, which means unto or against. And then we have the word ayin. And that's, it would be like E-Y-N, actually, is a little bit better pronunciation. Ayin. Ayin. Would you agree with me on that, Brother Roger?
Mm-hmm.
Ayin. Against Ayin. And there, Ayin there, is a prominent fountain or a spring there. Okay? And then we have the word Mishpat. 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 What does Mishpat mean? And tell me the number that relates to this, Marilyn. Mishpat.
What's judgment?
All right, judgment. Mishpat makes judgment. And what is the number that relates to judgment in the Bible? Oh, you don't have... Sharon, do you know what that number is? How about it, Brother Roger? The number that relates to judgment. 3 times 3.
Nine.
Divine judgment, not vine. 3 times 3 is 9. 3 threes is 9. It means judgment. So write now 9 if you want to. 9 is the number of judgment. And Sharon already told us what number 10 was. That's divine order. And she is. She is Kadesh. Kadesh. Kadesh means holy. Devoted. Yeah. Holy or devoted. Holy or devoted. Now this is a... If you turn to page 654 in Davidson's Analytical Hebrew Chaldee Lexicon, it'll tell you a lot about this. These were prostitutes, male and female prostitutes that commerced in this area. And they were sodomites who wholly devoted themselves to prostitution in honor of idols between the Idumea and Egypt. This is like the Ashtaroths, remember? Those were like, remember in Paul went into that city where there was a temple of Diana. And the temple of Diana up there, they had prostitutes that would come down and wear bracelets on their anklets, and they would, someone interested in them, they would take that anklet off and give them money, and they would go up there and meet the prostitute up on the hill and take the bracelet or anklet with them. And they did all of this in the name of their gods. And then et, sign of direct object, and all in the Siddah, Siddah, Siddah. You remember what Siddah means, Pamela? Siddah?
Field.
It means field, all right. What kind of field? What would we call this, Sharon?
A moist meadow.
If you go back into the Great Plains, which were created by the American Indians, the Great Plains were created. They burned down all of the mesquites and all the trees in that whole area, and they started this grass growing, and the grass would grow up to 4 feet deep. And it had a solid mat on top of it. And down below the mat was like an insulator between the sun and the wind. And the, what we called the dirt farmers went back there. And they took plows that would cut the sod, and they would build sod houses, and they planted wheat and corn and barley and all of these great plains. And what happened? That's the worst man-made disaster in the history of the world. The Indians know what to do with it. The white man blundered greatly. Blundered greatly. Now this Shadeh there, Shadeh, this is a moist pasture land like the Great Plains. They said when they went into that area before they destroyed the whole habitat, they said you could go in there and you could dig down a foot deep and the ground would be moist because it had an insulator on top of it and it held the moisture. And when it rained, and I mean it can pour rain in Kansas and Texas and all through those areas up and through all the Great Plains, it can rain real hard. Well, the ground absorbs that rain, and it goes down there, and a lot of that is clay ground down underneath, and it will just lay in that moisture level, and that's what Shadeh means. It means an area that holds moisture and that is grass, and holds grass down underneath it. You've seen that. If you go up in Deep Springs Valley, and there at the old rope maintenance station, you turn left and you go up in there and you go up into an area. You'll see two streams coming down, Crooked Creek and Wyman Creek. And in Wyman Canyon, you go up in Wyman Canyon and you look up that long canyon up there and you will see nothing but green grass standing about that deep. And out in that green grass, you'll see streams running and you'll see fish darting around it. That's the day. That's the day. There is more grass than cows and deer can eat up there. It stands tall. And then you'll see marmots up there, which are great big giant prairie dogs about that long and about that big around, running all over that place up there. And the wolves. What? There were beavers up there, but they killed them all. The Forest Service went in there and killed them. They were a small beaver on Cottonwood Creek, and they killed all the beaver in there. That was another big mistake. people, and they kept trying to plant the Paiute trout in that stream. And they plant the Paiute trout in the stream, and all of a sudden the Paiute trout are crossed with other trout. They couldn't get pure Paiute trout because the winds blow so hard back up in those mountains, there's great big funnels, and it picks up water out of the creeks and deposits it in other creeks. So they're moving fish from one creek to the other. They didn't know that. I did. I've seen that. They couldn't figure out why they couldn't keep pure trout up there. And I went up in there during one year up there. I was in the White Mountain Road Committee because I was the only one that ever walked these roads when the roads were still there. I passed these roads when you could drive a car up and through there, and they said the roads didn't exist. And so I went up there and showed them where the roads were and took pictures of the roads for them. Went back up in there in all this area, and you know what those people have done? They went up there on a real wet year, and they built all of these ponds. They'd have a little creek and a pond, a little creek and a pond. And I went back up there, and I took pictures of all this wasted money. There wasn't one drop of water in any of those creeks at all. But Cottonwood Creek was the North Fork of Cottonwood Creek Run. You could stand up in those canyons up here at about 13,000 feet. You could drive all the way down to about 6,000 feet down that mountain. You get down in there in the springtime, and the water is so rushing and melting in those glaciers up there that it just sounds like a roar of the ocean or something. Plenty of water in the main creek, but all those other ones up there and trace plumes and everything, that's a bunch of baloney. They were going to put these trout all back up in there, and they went up there in a wet year, and when the springs were all running, then for 5 or 6, 7 years, there was no springs, and all those trout died, and guess what? Those water funnels were crossing those trout, and they kept killing the natural trout, killing these beautiful natural trout. I've gone back up there in those creeks and hand-fished with them and thrown a trout out of there 15, 16 inches long. Just throw it up there on the bank. Big trout. The creeks are this wide and the trout are that long. But they might be 3 and 4 feet deep at times. You've seen a little bit of that, Maryland. Not much, but a little bit. The field. Those moist fields. Hamaliki. Hamaliki. These are the Amalekites. Amalekites. These rascals, these Amalekites. And the Amalekites. And also the Amorites. The Amorites. These are hillbillies, by the way. These are hillbillies. You know what a hillbilly is, Brother Roger?
Somebody that lives in the Ozarks.
Somebody that lives out in the hills someplace. Out there living out in the hills. Brother Madden had a hillbilly that he went through the World War II with, and his name was Moxie Gumbo. Moxie Gumbo was a moonshiner, a whiskey bootlegger back in Virginia, back in the hills back there, and he killed a lot of people. Well, he went in the service, and he got real mean, and he killed a lot. He was a sharpshooter and a sniper, and Brother Madden talks about him shooting. He was a hillbilly. He plied his trade in the hills of Virginia. Well, these Amorites are hillbillies, and they are they're mountain men, mountaineers, and hillbillies. And then it said that they settled. They kept on settling, actually. Masculine scene or cow participle. I didn't have one of you do that because I thought it might throw you a curve. And they settled and kept on settling in Hazazon. Hazazon. Be there on the front of that is what, Brother Roger? Be. Be is page 88. What? That's preposition. In Hazazon. And then we have the word Tamar. What does Tamar mean? Do you remember that, Sharon?
Palm tree.
14 and verse 8. We're clipping along here. Wayasi. Now that Wayasi, that is a Wayasi. See the W, double yod in there? And the word C in there, you might put an S in, or a T in there, T-S-E. Because we have a Sodhe in there, don't we? Melech, Sodom, Umelech, Amorah, Umelech, Adamah, Umelech, Seboim, Umelech, Bela, He, Zoar, Waiyaku, Itam, Melhama, Be'emek, Hasadim. Wayatsi is, what about that, Pamela? What about that word, Wayatsi? Okay, third person masculine senior, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect. Brother Roger, how would you translate that word?
So they went out and kept going out.
They went out and kept on traveling. They went out and kept on going. Melech, Sharon, what's Melech?
King,
all right. King of Sodom. You remember what Sodom means? What's Sodom mean? You remember what Sodom means?
Flammable.
Was it flammable? Why is Sodom flammable? Mary, why is Sodom flammable? Well, it was definitely a sinful place. We talked about that a while ago. Why is it flammable, Brother Roger?
The whole area is full of pitch fields or oil.
Yeah, it's all type of tar and pitch. Asphalt. Asphaltum. All right? It's all full of this. My friend Walt West went over there on an expedition, and he went down there where the Dead Sea was and went over there, and they started drilling core samples. Remember what I told you, don't ever worry about trying to prove the Bible wrong with science and archaeology. They went there and they drilled core samples, and they went down and they found plates and pottery and all kinds of stuff deep in the ground, like 1,500 feet deep. But there was a problem with it. It was radioactive. Radioactive. And Walt wasn't a super believer in the Bible. But he said, I'm going to tell you something. We drilled through that, and I mean that stuff came out when the Geiger counter's just ripping off. Boy, this going land, singing up a storm. He said, God zapped that with atomic power. He burned that place up. We had fusion, atomic fusion right there. It was flammable, wasn't it? God put an atomic bomb on it. Now, can God do that? While it took the world to World War II to figure out how to make atomic bomb, God used it way back then. He wanted to showed me some pictures of that thing. Okay, King of Sodom and King Melech, Umelech, and King of Gomorrah, and King of Admah. All right, this Admah there is it's like an earth fortress. It's got a big earth wall. Okay. And King of Zeboim, and I don't have what all of these names are, but we could look them up a little bit. If some of these names don't have meanings, it'll say in obscure. All right, let's look at this one where we are right now. 840. 840. Let's look at that. Let's see if it says, see if I can find something there. 840. What?
In the book, my book here, it says it's the same as Zoar.
Yeah, Zoar. Zoar. All right. The Boim. Well, it says here, it talks about variegated. Zeboim means hyena. Hyena. Yeah, hyena. Hyena. The Valley of Hyenas. Valley of Hyenas. All right, the Valley of Hyenas.
So I was watching a show last night about the En-Gedi.
Yes.
And there's a bunch of hyenas there.
Yeah. Well, here we are, the Valley of Hyenas at one time. It says here, Wadi El Kelt, between Jerush and Jericho. Jerush and Jericho. And it says, Samim in Greek. Sabaim, also in Greek. So there we got that one figured out. Let's look at another word here now. Zeboim means the valley of hyenas. And 771 Gomorrah. See if that's an easy find. Gomorrah. Amar means an abundance of water. And abundance of water. That's all I can see there. Abundance of water. So, we have an abundance of water. Lots of water.
Wasn't enough water.
Lots of water. Now we have a valley of hyenas and Admah. That's an earth fortress. And Sodom means fat, flammable. And now we have a Zoar. Zoar is 858. 858 in this book. Let's see what that says here. 858. Zoar. Zoar means to grow. And it means insignificant also. Insignificant. Insignificant. An insignificant place. And also to be or grow. Insignificance. On page 858 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. And it says here, in the exactly same thing, it's near the Dead Sea, at the southeast end of the Dead Sea, in Genesis 13 and 14. Valley of Sidon, 961 now. 961. We'll go look at some of these things. 961. Sidon. And well, it has harrow down here, an implement. It has a veil of furrows. It means plowed ground. Plowed ground. That's what that one means. Plowed ground. So what if they did? What were they doing with plowed ground?
Farming
it. All right. A valley of wide furrows. A valley of wide furrows. All right. Now, there's going to be a war. There's going to be a Melahama, a war, a battle in the valley of Sidon. Plowed ground. 14 and verse 9. Et Kadari Laamor Melech Elam We Tidal Melech Goyim We Amraphel Melech Shinar We are Arok Melech Ele Esser Arba'a Melechim Et Ha Mishasha. So then we have here Chadlamar, and that name, according to Davidson, means ready to attack. This guy was ready to fight all the time. This is what we call a person that's got a short fuse, Meryl. Got a short fuse. Did you get that? That's Chadlamar. That means short fuse. Ready to fight. He's ready to fight. All right. Warlike. His name means agitated and ready to fight. He's a king, Melech of Elam. and Tidal and King Goim. This is a nation of Gentiles that Goim means, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar. Four kings against the five. So now we have got four against five, don't we? Four against five. 14:10. We and Nek. Hasidim. Berioth. And put an H on the end of that towel there, or T. And Bareth. Be'ereth, that is. Hamor. Wayanusu. Melek. Sidon. We Amora. Wayiptilu. Shama. We Ha Nisharim. Hera Nasu. And Valley. This we and Nek. We and Mek. We and Nek. This valley of the Sidon. Remember what Sidon means? Sidon? What's that? Sidon. Hasidim. Remember what that one means? Plowed ground. Plowed ground. And then we have here, we have Be'eroth. 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 Be'eroth, that means a well or spring. Okay, in Siddim there are wells and springs. And springs. Lots of springs. Springs of what, Marilyn?
Like artesian well.
No, it's not water.
Hmm?
Not water. What was Taft like? Marilyn.
What?
Remember when you were a little girl, you'd go out there to the tar pits and you'd pick up tar and chew on it, like chewing
yeah.
gum?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's it got? Springs of what?
Spring.
Okay, how about down south where we went down there? There's a spring down there where people used to go, Los Angeles.
Yes,
the tar pits.
The
tar pits.
Yes.
La Brea tar pits.
Yeah.
These are tar pits. These are springs of tar, the flammable material. Down in Los Angeles was the first place in the United States to have paved roads with asphalt. Why did they have paved roads with asphalt? Do you remember, Brother Otter?
Because they just got it from...
They went down to the La Brea tar pits. And they all had all of these flat roof houses like Spanish style homes. And they go down there at the La Brea tar pits and they load into barrels on these Mexican carts. The carrozas, I think is what you called them. I don't remember what you call them. They've got one right down here at this restaurant, the El Rancho restaurant. They got one of these old carrozas out there and they'd hook ox or ponies or draft horses to them, and they put a big wooden barrel in there, and they'd slop all of this tar, into these barrels, and they would go down the road, and of course, when you're going down the road with a barrel with no lid on it, what happens? Tars are slopping around. So they had paved streets down there in Los Angeles. Of course, it's kind of sticky. Of course, if you've been on fresh blacktop, it does that anyway. And they take these and they tar all the roofs of all of those houses with this tar. So there is the first city.
Can I add a little story to that?
Yes.
My grandfather took that. They had a wood stove and he had a little container of that tar. He put a little tube into it to drip into the wood and keep the fire going.
Yep. He would take this oil, this tar, this heavy crude is what it was, and he would put it by his wood stove and had it up there, and of course it would be hot, and he'd take a tube and drip in there on the wood. The wood would be like a wick, and you would have this tar dripping on it. In the dog houses on the drilling rigs, they had diesel in there, and you could take an old shirt or something and soak it in diesel oil or crude or whatever and throw it in that. And that round, big stove they've got in those things. In the wintertime, it's cold out there in the oil fields. And they start that on fire. And then they would just open up and just let it drip just a little bit of oil on top of that. And it would keep the fire going. You'd have a wick down there. And he used wood for a wick. A lot of people, when they started putting natural gas in houses, they would take their old wood-burning cook stove and they'd run in there in a wood-burning cook stove and they'd hook up to the gas pipe, and some people would hook up to the gas pipe and not tell the gas company because they didn't have meters on them then, and they'd take a pipe and drill little holes in it and cap it off and just have a valve on the end of it and start it in there, and in their wood stoves they'd have a gas stove. That was very common back then. Okay? This is old history now. See how old I am? That's what you get for being the biggest part of 100 years old. Weanek. Hasidim. Be'eroth. Be'ereth. Hamor. Wayan Nusu. Melech Sidon. We'amara. Wayipalu. Shama, we ha nisharim, Herath Nasu. Now we read that before, we're going to do it again. And the valley, look at the valley. What is the valley? It's a depressed area between mountains, usually. The Sidon, all right. Sidon means what, Sharon? Plowed ground. And then we have springs and springs. Springs and springs of what, Marilyn? Hemar, tar. Okay? Wayan Nusu. And fled and escaped and kept on fleeing and escaping. Third person, masculine, plural, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. The king of Sodom. The king of Sodom. What does Sodom mean? Huh? Flammable. All right. The flammable place. And Gomorrah. And they fell and kept on falling there. Third person, masculine, plural, cow, wow, consecutive, perfect, there. And the ones remaining. And ones remaining. Ones left. To the mountain, they fled. They escaped. Third person, construct, plural, cow, perfect. They had escaped. To the mountain, they had escaped. Let's go on just a little bit further, and I'll cut you loose. YFQ. Et, call, Rikus, Sidon, Weamara, Weet, call, Akalam, Wayeliku. And they took and kept on taking all the movable property. What's movable property, Sharon? Anything you move. What is it, though? What name some of it?
Oh, it would be animals.
Animals.
It would be wagons. It would be tools. It would be tents.
Yes. All the tents, tools.
Any possessions?
Any possessions. Anything but a rock house. You couldn't move a rock house, could you? Sometimes people, you know, when Napoleon went into Egypt down there, he was going to make Egypt his seat. That's where he was going to make Alexandria, Egypt. That's where he was going to have his empire, the king, the center of his empire. He went and took a lot of those monuments and took them apart and sent them back over into France. And, of course, the English did the same thing. And when you go over in those lands, you will see all these monuments that are supposed to be over there, over here. They moved the property, whether it was movable or not. And all of the cows, the sheep, the goats, the elephants, the camels. Now, another little thing that you will run into with some of these archaeologists and anthropologists is they'll say that the camels didn't exist in this country here at this time. But you go back and you find out some of the coins, and they find out on coins there's camels. So guess what? Camels must have been here. They said Abraham couldn't have had any camels because there weren't any camels in that area at this time. Forget that. They've got evidence of that already. Sodom, and Gomorrah. And all of the Akalam, that means provisions and food. What kind of provisions and food did they have back at that time, Pamela? Do you know? What kind of provisions and food did these people live on? Well, they didn't have any corn over there. They didn't have one kernel of corn in the Middle East at this time. Where was the corn, Sharon? It was North America. All right, North and Central America. That's where corn came from. It was developed here.
Would they have dates then?
They had dates, yes.
They had barley.
They had barley.
Raisins.
And wheat. They had raisins. What else?
Goat milk.
They had goat milk and camel's milk and sheep milk and horse milk. You know that they have milk camels? I have had camel's yogurt before when I was in Damascus, Syria. What was the commodity that Abraham fed the angels and the Son of God that came and visited him?
A form of yogurt.
A form of camel's yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Camel's yogurt. Now, it doesn't taste too bad. It doesn't taste too good either. Muhammad loved camel's milk. He just loved camel's milk. Just loved it. Just drank it. A lot of those Bedouins, they drank a lot of camel's milk because they have milk camels, just like milk cows. Milk camels. It's strong tasting. How many of you ever had goat's milk? Anybody ever had goat milk around here?
It tasted it, but it didn't taste strong.
What?
It tastes rich, but it didn't taste strong.
Some of it will taste pretty strong. I've milked goats. Some goats have stronger milk than others. But goat's milk is much stronger. But there's something in goat's milk that agrees with many people. It's more digestible than cow's milk. Cow's milk is a hybrid animal that produces a lot of milk. And it doesn't totally agree with all people, especially American Indians. We don't have any enzymes to digest the stuff. I know Marilyn's not much American Indian because she drinks 70% of her diet's got to be dairy products. Goods and provisions. All dates, raisins, cheese, milk, barley, wheat, bread, maybe jerky, dried meat, all this.
Olive oil?
Olive oil, yeah, olive oil. Olive oil is...
What about wine?
Well, wine is grapes, yeah.
Yeah.
You can have grapes after the wine. I mean, you can have grapes after the... You can make dried shells almost of the grapes after you squish them in the wine. And they left and walked and kept on walking. Third person, masculine, plural, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. Let's get one more. Why et you? Et lot. We et? Rakusho. Rakusho. Ben, Ahi, Abram, Wayetku, Wehu, Yasev, Be Sodom. And he took and kept on taking Lot. All right? And they took and kept on taking Lot. What does Lot mean? Lout is actually what his name is, Lout. What? Secretive and hidden. He is a sleazy character, Lot was. And his portable property, the son and brother of Achi. Achi. That's A-C-H-I. A-C-H-I. Achi, the brother of Abram. The son of the brother of Abram. Another, Abram's what? His nephew. Of Abram. And they left and kept on going and kept on walking. Third person, masculine, plural, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. And he living or dwelling in Sodom. And all the ones living or dwelling in Sodom. Here we have a masculine singular, each and every one. Everyone that's living and dwelling in Sodom. Sodom was taken off as slaves, weren't they? All right. Do you have any questions concerning all this? Did you learn something? A little bit? And we started at 14 what today? 14 through 13. We made 10 verses. What do you know about that? We made progress.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, this is in Abraham's time. That's all I can tell you. I can't tell you the absolute time. Does any of your study Bibles, does they have a period of time in here that we're talking about? This is, you know, like 2000 B.C., something like that. Yeah, somewhere around that period of time. I can't tell you exactly. It's, if you look up there on the map, here we have Abraham right here. We have the division of the earth and the continents right here, and we have Abraham's time. So this is in Abraham's time, right here.
Okay.
Abraham's time. And I don't have Sharon. Do you have a question? No. Did you learn something tonight? All right. How about you, Sharon or Pamela?
No, I don't have anything.
All right. Roger?
No question.
No question. Marilyn, any more questions? All right. You know what tar tastes like?
Yes.
All right. You know.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah, you enjoyed it. Chewing on that tar. Well, I've got to tell you the truth. I chewed on a little tar in my time, too.